good. If you want to turn in your hymnal to 150. I'm going to tell you, every year during allergy season, I have some struggles. But there's some other people with it, and we're not sure who's got allergies and who's got a little bit of a head cold going on. So don't be offended if Doug, for example, doesn't give you a hug and a kiss.
That's right.
But as we're singing, those of you who don't have a cold need to make up the difference a little bit, sing a little louder.
Please.
So that we can have a nice, good... So let's sing 150. June of 2013, when they legalized sodomite marriage, and I was inspired to write this song. Page 42, Wicked, Wicked World.
This is Charlie Smith's favorite song.
Charlie loves this song.
Evil, 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 evil time to be alive. Just
the end of this wicked, wicked world.
Now, before moving on, I just want to apologize to any libtard that actually is watching, and you saw me say verse 3. You see that?
Uh-oh.
3.
Three.
That means I'm going to be on Jeopardy. You seen that stuff? They're trying to cancel the guy. Now, they won the first day, and he did this. He won the second day and did that.
Oh, my.
He won the third day, and suddenly he's a white supremacist.
Uh-oh.
And listen, folks, this isn't about anything but control. They want to control you. And you and I don't belong to them. We have been bought with a price. And we belong to Jesus Christ. And we are not going to go along with the woke libtards.
Amen.
Amen.
So let's get back to the hymn book. With that. Page 129. Yeah, they are woke in the sense of satanic spirit. A satanic spirit has awoken in them, preparing for the Antichrist. We belong to Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So sing out with us, page 129, At the Cross. Stand on that second verse. EBFOhio@protonmail.com, and we pray over your requests after we cut the live stream so that they're kept private, just between friends, between us and the Lord. Amen. Now, if you're here and you have a prayer request, there's prayer cards below with pencils. Raise your hand, and Jenny will bring you one.
All right, Pat, everybody else.
Two or three. There's a couple more.
Hold on.
Anybody needs one, raise your hand. Mary and Jack.
Sorry, not laying out.
And now, please silence your cell phone. Cell phones are silenced, I suppose, now. It's just funny how he put that up there and no one pays attention to it. They even put music to it.
Music wasn't that interesting. It was just kind of pretty.
It's not supposed to be interesting. So hold your comments and questions as we get into our current events update. Because God's people should not be stupid. Regarding the experimental gene therapy shot being called a vaccine, billions for pharma, that's what this is all about. The love of money is the root of all evil.
Amen.
This is from The Guardian. The headline says, from Pfizer to Moderna, who's making billions from COVID-19 vaccines? The companies in line for the biggest gains and the shareholders who have already made fortunes. Pfizer and BioNTech is an mRNA vaccine, which means they're injecting DNA-level instructions into your body in order to make your body do things God did not intend for it to do.
Amen.
We talked about it in our last week's current events update. It involves folding proteins, which could potentially give you brain diseases like ALS and Alzheimer's. And people are lining up like guinea pigs to take this shot that has not been tested by the government. You are completely involved in experimental gene therapy. That's the bottom line. But what they're about is making billions. And Pfizer and BioNTech expected to make $15 to $30 billion on this shot.
Wow.
The stock price, the share price, has already gone up 1.8% for Pfizer. But more of you had BioNTech, it's going up 156%. And if you think that's on accident, I'm sorry, but you're clueless. This stuff is all by design. They knew this going into it. You can go back and listen to them over the last 10 years. Fauci, Gates, and all these people have been telling you this is going to happen. It's all on video. Moderna. Also an mRNA vaccine. They're going to make $18 to $20 billion in addition to what Pfizer makes. Their share price has gone up 372%. Johnson & Johnson, who's even had issues, problems with theirs, on the news and everything, they expect to make up to $10 billion. Theirs is a different type of shot, which is why you only have to get one, adenovirus vaccine. We don't have time to get into all the differences. But their share price has gone up 7.7% over the past year. Now, that is an amazing return. When you're talking hundreds, you're talking unreal returns. And then the last one we'll look at is AstraZeneca, another adenovirus vector vaccine. They'll make between $2 and $3 billion. Don't you feel bad for them?
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Their share price actually went down because it went into the tens of billions.
That's because people are dropping dead from that one.
Yeah, they're in. The bottom line is the human population is the cash cow.
Wow.
That, and folks, even if this, any of these shots work the way they're supposed to, they're not supposed to keep you from getting COVID. They're not even designed to do that. They are designed to make your body function in a way that God did not tell that your body to function. It's to cause you to do things on that DNA, RNA level that produces folded proteins and then so forth. And therein lies the danger. But they don't care. You know, before they acted like they couldn't put medicines out unless they put them through years of trials and tests. And all. They don't care anymore. The human population, in preparation for the Antichrist, has been become nothing but a big herd.
Yep.
And they'll do whatever they want to make money. Someone might say, well, there has to be a profit incentive. Okay, even during a time of pandemic, you have to have $63 billion in profit? I mean, listen, they're gouging you to do this, by the way. The government's paying for it, and a lot of public school kids especially, and I'm one of them, I never realized until I was in my 20s that when the government spends money, it's our money.
Yep.
It's not government money, it's your money.
Amen.
So they're using you as a guinea pig and getting the money from you to do what they're doing. And it's supposed to be this huge pandemic where everybody's supposed to be a humanitarian and stop thinking about yourself. Put on double masks, social distance, stop being so self-centered. Oh, and by the way, we're going to make $1 billion off of every one of you. See, they don't practice what they preach.
No.
If they really cared about you, the profit margins would be minimal. They don't care. So the beast system is in place. I really believe nothing else has to happen before the mark of the beast is able to be implemented as far as the technical side of it. Now, what has to happen on the spiritual side is it's got to be God's timing.
Yeah.
But as far as getting the system in place, I believe we're there.
Yeah.
All that's needed is the rapture.
Amen.
The rapture happens, and it becomes about Israel again. The time of Jacob's trouble, the 70th week of Daniel,
Amen.
And it becomes about Israel, and Israel will sign that make an agreement to the Mosaic Covenant again under Daniel chapter 7, verse 29. And that'll then institute the final week of the 70 weeks of Daniel. That's why everywhere else in the Bible, it's a 7-year tribulation. And then Israel, at midway through that tribulation, will be attacked by the Antichrist. 2/3 of them will be killed. 1/3 of them will go into the wilderness, we believe into Petra. And there they will remain for 1,260 days, which is 3.5 years, half of the tribulation period. And then at the end of that, Jesus Christ will return on a white horse with the church of Jesus Christ behind him on white horses. And when he returns, he will kill them all.
Amen. Yep.
Amen.
That's why we're not picking up guns and shooting people right now.
Amen.
God said this is his business. And in his timing, he'll take care of it. But I'll just say this on the record. That doesn't mean if they come after you in your home or come after you and your family that you shouldn't defend yourself. We'll talk about that more another time. We've talked about it a number of times. In the meantime, as the whole system is being set up for the Antichrist, so is, I'm not going to say the church, because most of what is called Christianity today is not the church. The church is made up of born-again believers who have been baptized into the one body by the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You have to be a true believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ, or you're not in any legitimate church as far as the Bible is concerned.
Amen.
But there are churches that are a part of Christianity and not a part of God's church.
Amen.
And that Christianity is either apostasy or persecution. That's where you are today. It's either apostasy or persecution. If this local church that you are in right now, among, not the building, I'm talking about the people. If this group of people does not go with the apostasy, then we will face persecution.
Yes, right.
That's just a fact. Here's just the headlines. Church, should put it in quotes, celebrates Drag Queen Sunday.
Is that a new church?
Now, I'm not being mean to you right now, but if that shocks you, you ain't really been clued in. If that shocks you, you need to understand, you need to open your eyes. This has been going on all over the country for at least the last 15 to 20 years, and it's growing. Churches are going completely into apostasy. This is called Hope United Methodist Church in Bloomington, Illinois. And it's promoting a different religion than Christianity.
Yeah.
But that's apostasy.
Yep.
This is what apostasy looks like.
Sick.
A London pastor was arrested for a sermon on marriage.
Yeah.
Wow.
All he did was teach what the Bible says marriage is. And because he said that marriage could not be between a man and a man, or a woman and a woman, or a man and a cow, or whatever. Listen, speech is only free if it agrees with the elitist sodomites and the New World Order. And if you think I'm being too broad with my strokes when I say the elitist sodomites, you've never studied the elites. You look at the Bohemian Grove. Find out what Richard Nixon, who was no saint, what he said about that place. Now, have you saw the video where this cop made fun of LeBron James? If you didn't see it, then you'll have to go look at it. But he was just talking. You'd have to see it to understand it. But he's been suspended without pay for a video that just showed common sense. That LeBron was complaining that this black girl was shot and killed here in Columbus, not caring that she was 1 second away from murdering another black woman in those pink sweatpants. If the cop had not stopped the black woman with the knife and killed the black woman in the pink outfit, you'd still be hearing a racism. It was a no-win situation with Black Lives Matter, Antifa, and the Democrat woke libtards.
Yep.
You can't win with them. They're not interested in facts or truth. They're just interested in burning this place down. They want a new government under Marxist principles.
Yep.
And they'll use any and for any situation to get there. Again, I'll say it again. Some of you can say that again, preacher. Well, I'll say it again. Speech is only free if it agrees with the elitist sodomites and the New World Order. This is the story. This year's National Day of Prayer event at the U.S. Capitol. Oh, I didn't read the headline. Pastor, I don't know if you knew this. For the first time in 70 years, your government has denied a permit to hold a National Day of Prayer.
Wow.
First time in 70 years. This year's National Day of Prayer, and I'm going to say it, I don't care who doesn't like it, I believe in telling the truth. Your Democrat Party and their president are Satanists. They are Antichrist. They want to murder babies. They want to push sodomy down the throats of our children in our schools and in every place they can. They stand for everything wicked and evil, and it's time Christians started just stating the facts. Now, there are progressives in the Republican Party that are just as bad, like Mitt Romney. But the party platform, at least in the Republican Party, isn't Satanist. Go read the Democrat Party platform. It's Satanist. It's just sick. And you, if you won't speak out now, you are as bad as a German who wouldn't speak out against Hitler. God's people are to be bold. God's people are to speak truth, even if they come to take your head off. And we need more of God's people to speak up. I got a little church and an internet ministry, and thank God for it. But we need 100,000 Bible-thumping preachers to be preaching this in America today. But most Christians will continue to go to churches where you got some mealy-mouthed punk standing in the pulpit tickling ears. And while I got breath, I'm going to use it. I hope and pray you do too. This just makes me sick, and the silence is deadly. This year's National Day of Prayer event at the U.S. Capitol appears to have been canceled after one evangelical leader was denied a permit to hold the prayer gathering at the building. It is deeply troubling. For the first time in 70 years, there will not be a public prayer service at the United States Capitol building on the National Day of Prayer. That's the official statement by the National Day of Prayer. Every American needs to be asking the question, how is it possible to have public prayer prohibited at the Capitol on the National Day of Prayer, especially when it is a national observance designated by Congress? I'll tell you, because a satanic political party has taken over this country. Now, we've got a few minutes, I took up most of your time, but we got a couple comments. I said Grace had her hand up first on the corner.
I just wanted to say, because I had the privilege, my first husband was abusive, and I think that was a privilege because of what it taught me. And, you know, so, but the reason why it was, one reason among many why it was a privilege is because I can just see so clearly, you can't please a bully.
Yeah.
I'm like, everybody, so Satan uses a word like Black Lives Matter. Who could possibly agree that Black Lives disagree?
Right.
Black Lives, of course. So yeah. He picked something so obvious. Yes, Black Lives Matter. Of course, of course. No one can disagree with that.
And then when
that's not what it's about. You, and so all these, our entire society is kowtowing, paying, I mean, probably every corporation out there, Walmart,
yeah.
Every corporation out there,
yeah.
Billions and millions of dollars funding Black Lives Matter. But the point is, because they're afraid. Oh, we're so scared they might come riot. We don't want them to come riot. We're so scared. We're so
and
scared.
To say
you can't blame the bully.
All lives matter suddenly became racist. We put signs out in my yard, all lives matter, and they came and ripped down my American flag and tried to rip up the other signs.
Yep, stole my signs.
We put it on my car, a little sticker this big, all lives matter, and we had a couple of lesbians try to run us off the road and then about rear end somebody when they went ahead of us and were flipping us off and yelling at us. That's when you know it's not a mental, intellectual thing, it's a spiritual thing.
Yeah.
All lives matter. Red and yellow, black and white.
Yeah.
And I don't care who upsets to say that. I'm not going to stop saying it. And what Grace is telling you is, you can't, you've got to stand your ground. You can't let the bullies bully you. Right. Don't ever try to please them either. Just like this guy on Jeopardy. I don't know what happened, if he's been on yet, or Monday will be his first time back since. So he did the little three. The first night he did this, second night this, third night this, fourth night if he won, he would have done that. But that's, they just saw an opportunity to start calling somebody a name.
Yep.
And what you do is just say, shut up, you're stupid. I'm not going to deal with you.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, that's how, that's the only way to deal with it. Yeah. Johnny?
Oh, yeah, it's just, you know, with how they're making money off of the pandemic. It just reminded me of what a movie we saw. It's, I don't know, you may or may not what think it's worth seeing, but it was V for Vendetta.
I saw it.
Yeah, and so, I mean, granted, it has a pro-sodomite thing in it.
Yeah.
But the big push I thought was that the government used a, like, created a, some plague.
Yeah.
In it, and they, you know, then got rich off of giving everybody the cure.
And that movie proves, demonstrates two things. Number one, it is a, has a basically good message to it, but then it shows you what's wrong with what the so-called patriot movements in America today.
Yeah.
You're seeing them trying to promote sodomy even at CPAC this year. They're promoting the drag thing at CPAC. Trans thing.
Wow.
So it's all on video. You can go out there and watch it. And so that's what you, as Christians, we're going to really be cornered in this thing as the longer the Lord tarries. And you've got to be willing to stand up and stand for what's right, even against a lot of so-called conservatives today and libertarians. Yeah, Rick?
As far as the vaccine goes, I've seen a couple things this past week that there are millions of people who are not going back for their second shot.
Yes.
They're getting aware of what's going on. There's nurses coming out talking about, there's nurses coming out talking about what they've seen. And what they know about the vaccines. I think there's starting to be a more awareness.
I don't have much hope for a huge backlash, but I'm encouraged to see some people, you know, who are waking up. We got other friends and relatives of ours that just totally ignore all information you give them. But again, I don't think that's intellectual. I think it's spiritual. It takes humility, and it takes a spiritual discernment to accept this information because you've been brainwashed into going along with this stuff. You got real quick, and then we'll get Sean to be the last one.
I just wanted to finish by what I've seen and read about Satan's plans for people is to tell you what it is, and your silence will be consent.
Yes.
He told us in movies and TV
yes.
shows and things. I just this morning saw one that it was a clips from Utopia, which was a movie in 2004 that basically said they came up with a non-deadly virus to scare people to get vaccines because they're going to have three generations of sterility so they can do population reduction.
Yeah,
it's really weird to see
there's,
today.
There's the things to keep your eye out for and very possible. Yeah, Sean?
Rick just took the words out of my mouth and then some. So.
Yeah, amen. Amen. All right, let's take what we just received and take note of it and continue to keep your eye out for what is going on in the world today. Let's open with a word of prayer and get into our Bible study. And we're going to have Brother Dre with us. Would you open the Bible study prayer?
Thank you, Lord, for gathering us here today. We ask that you bless the reading of the word and the teaching of the word. We ask that you give Pastor Greg the strength to teach what is going to be prepared for us with your guidance. And we ask that you bless us all here today as we continue to fellowship and gather until you come, Lord. In Jesus' name.
Amen. All right, Luke 11:29 is where we're going to pick up. Luke 11:29. Kind of a big change in the narrative here. We left off with Jesus stating, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." And then verse 29, and when the people were gathered thick together, so a little change of situation. We're going to read verses 29 through 32, and I'll have you join in the even number with me. So I'll start reading verse 29. And when the people were gathered thick together, he began to say, "This is an evil generation. They seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it, but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here."
Amen.
God's people say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to try not to cough on you all morning.
Appreciate it.
But you'll probably still get spit on.
Thank goodness I'm back here.
Jesu begins with the typical Joel Osteen sermon intro. And when the people were gathered to get thick together, he began to say. It's a little sarcasm there for you. This would not be a Joel Osteen sermon. He began to say, not in today's most popular churches, you would not begin to say, "This is an evil generation." Today, if you want to be, first of all, I just know this, and I'm not bragging. There are a good number of good preachers around the world who would never be hired by most of these churches. They would, if nothing else, they would go back and listen to the sermons of the past that I've preached. They'd say, this is not our guy. But a lot of guys come out of seminary and think that that's what the ministry is. The ministry is doing whatever you can to get as many people in the pews and as much money in the box as possible. But when any preacher will not say what God says, he is not a real preacher.
Amen.
Now that seems so obvious, but to this generation, it's not obvious. This generation will go week after week and sit under preachers who will not say the things God says.
That's right.
Yep.
And if you're sitting under a preacher who will not say what God says, you're not under a real preacher.
Amen.
I mean, the only task that I have as a pastor and preacher is to say what God says.
Amen.
And if that makes you run off or hurts your feelings or whatever, that's between you and the author.
Say bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, bye, you know. But that's not the motive. The motive of most ministers is it's a sin called pragmatism. Pragmatism is do what works. So that's when you bring in focus groups and you do surveys. A lot of these churches, one of the first things they'll do is they'll rent a gymnasium or a cafeteria somewhere and they'll go through the neighborhood doing a survey. What are they doing? Finding out what everybody wants. And then they decide what they can give them. And then they advertise. Hey, we did a survey of this town. You said you wanted this in a church. Well, we're going to give it to you. And if the survey said they wanted the preacher to dress up in a clown wig with a red nose, he'd do it. Whatever it takes, whatever the survey says. That's not how God works. That's why I joke when I'm up here and I say, survey says. I'm not being serious. We don't care what the surveys say.
Amen.
Here's another example, in addition to Joel Osteen. The following are highlights from a two-hour interview with Michael Horton. He's a host of a radio program called The White Horse Inn. I don't agree with their full theological position, but on the fundamental doctrines of the faith, they do hold true. And this is what he looked like a few years ago. I don't know if that's a real recent picture, but Michael Horton is his name. And he asks his question to Dr. Robert Schuller, the late pastor of the Crystal Cathedral. Now, folks, if you want to know how the church has got where we are today, go back and look at the fakes that were on TV in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s.
Yep. Amen.
Here's Horton. Dr. Schuller, how could the cross, as you write, and this is from one of his books, quote, sanctify the ego trip? See, the Bible says to die to self. Robert Schuller preached that you should be full of yourself. And there are people in America, Christians around the world, had so little spiritual discernment. They would watch him week in and week out. His message was antichrist. Michael Horton continues, and make us proud. He wrote that the cross would sanctify the ego trip and make us proud. How could you write that in the light of passages that say, quote, I hate pride and arrogance, Proverbs 8:13. Pride goes before destruction, Proverbs 16:18. The Lord detests all the proud, Proverbs 16:5.
Amen.
Do not be proud, Romans 12:16. And he's quoting a new version where it says, charity does not boast. Charity is not proud, 1 Corinthians 13:4. Horton continues. He says, in fact, Paul warns that, he warns Timothy, but he warns us all, that in the last days men, quote, will be lovers of their own selves. That's 2 Timothy 3:2. Why should we as Christian ministers, myself included, why should we do anything to encourage people to become lovers of themselves? If Paul, in fact, warned others that that would be the state of godlessness in the last days. Did you get that?
Amen.
Amen.
And he's assessed the situation correctly.
Amen.
In the last days, men are full of themselves, and God says that's a sign we're in the end. Well, here's Robert Schuller's response. I hope you don't preach this. I hope you don't preach this.
That's Paul answer?
Horton says, what? The texts? No, what you just spoke into the microphone right now, which was Bible. I hope you don't, because you could do a lot of damage to a lot of beautiful people. But maybe if you preach it, maybe you will demonstrate your knowledge of human relationships, and maybe you'll demonstrate a sensitivity of caring about these pathetic, pathetic people that are so lost in pain and suffering because of their sinful condition. And I think you want to save them.
Yeah.
Just to give you, see what you have to use to discern them. When Robert Schuller says they're suffering because of their sinful condition, he defines sinful condition as lack of self-love and self-esteem.
Wow.
That's not your sinful condition. Your sinful condition is that you have violated God's law. You have transgressed against a holy God.
Amen.
That's your sinful condition.
Amen.
I think you'd want to bring them to Jesus. Not, he's not talking about the Bible Jesus. He's talking about the Jesus that Robert Shuler created in his own imagination. And so if you preach that text, oh man, I sure hope you give it the kind of interpretation that I do. Or I'll tell you, you'll drive them farther away and they'll be madder than hell at you. And they'll turn the Bible off and they'll switch you off and they'll turn on the rock music and Madonna.
Not Madonna.
This was back in the 90s. Just missed my mouth. It's a miracle right there. Just think about what he's saying there. Listen, when the Holy Spirit approached me through the preaching of the Word and reading of the Word, he said to me, "You are a sinner. And you deserve to be in hell right now."
Amen.
He didn't say, "Oh, Greg, you just need to love yourself." He didn't say that. How do I know that? Because this book is the authority on all matters of which God speaks.
Amen.
But that was the false gospel of Robert Shuler.
Yep.
Shuler continues, "Just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean you should preach it." Now, by the way, just so you're Bereans and you want to check me out on this, not only the scripture, but there's the website. I don't agree with a lot of the doctrine at that website, but they had a full transcript of this conversation. To hear the audio, you have to pay some money and all that. I'm saying this as a matter of fact. There's no indication that Robert Shuler was a saved man. At no point do you ever read or hear that man in the robe standing in the pulpit of the Crystal Cathedral 50 years preaching lies. And at no point did he ever say he recognized himself as a sinner and recognized that Jesus died on the cross to pay for his sins and that he had believed on that death, burial, and resurrection for eternal life. I've never found him ever saying such a thing. But the majority of evangelical Christians in America thought he was legit.
Wow.
That tells you how little spiritual discernment Christians in this country have demonstrated for decades. Yeah, Jim?
Is there a particular denomination associated?
He was in the Reformed churches originally.
The Calvinists?
The Dutch Reformed originally. I don't know if he finished in that or not. But I know there's some good Dutch Reform who want nothing to do with him. But that was where he started. And by the way, his son, Robert Shuler Jr., when he took over the Crystal Cathedral, he started preaching the biblical gospel.
Wow.
And his dad fired him.
Wow.
You look it up. A real man of God preaches like this. This is an evil generation.
Amen.
The sinner has to grasp their lost condition before God can help them. The old saying is, you got to be lost before you can be saved.
Yep.
You have to understand, God is holy. You are wicked.
Amen.
You are depraved. You are given over to sin. You have that desire in you to sin. So what do? Well, you join a church, get baptized, start giving money, go through all the sacraments, and then die in good grace, right? Well, not to take care of your sin problem, you don't.
Nope.
There's only one way to take care of your sin problem, and that is by looking to the cross.
Amen.
Jesus himself, God in human form, paid a debt that you owed, but a debt that you could not pay.
Amen.
You owe an infinite payment. You have sinned against a sinless and infinite God. Your works could be multiplied by a million and still wouldn't pay for the first single sin you ever committed against God.
Amen.
That's why we call you to repent.
Amen.
You stop thinking you can do something. You stop your love affair with the sin that put him on the cross. You get rid of the false religious ideas you have about being saved by your own works. You come empty-handed, repenting toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. Empty-handed. And you basically are saying, when you believe on that cross, you're saying, I can't do a thing. I'm lost. I'm without hope. I must have Jesus. You are telling God, I cannot be saved by anything, anyone other than God on the cross.
Amen.
And He shed sinless blood, the blood of God dripping off that cross to pay for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
That moment you're saved, then you ought to find a good local church. Then you ought to read your Bible. You ought to pray, get baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You ought to serve the Lord and preach the gospel, and not one of those things has anything to do with you being saved.
Amen.
Not one of those things helps to save you. All of those things are done not to be saved, but because you are saved.
Amen.
And most religions, even in the name of Christianity today, have it totally backwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they will encourage you to work for something you can't work for. That's why Jesus says, they seek a sign, and there shall no sign be given it but the sign of Jonas the prophet. For one thing, Jesus wasn't doing signs on demand. Come on, Jesus, show us something. That wasn't his purpose, and that's not how he rolled. Look at verse 30 now. He says, "For as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation." Now, Jesus explains that elsewhere. We're going to compare Scripture with Scripture, and we'll just not turn there. Just read it. Matthew 12:40. "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be there, be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth."
Amen.
And that's one of the reasons we don't believe in Good Friday. I take Jesus at his word that he was in the earth, in that tomb, 3 days and 3 nights.
Amen.
And I don't care how much belly aching and Yahoo and they do about it. You can't get 3 days and 3 nights from Friday night sunset to Sunday morning sunrise. Unless you are a Common Core math. That's the only way you'll ever get that. I love this from the Fourfold Gospel. It was written in 1914. It said, quote, "Jonah's preservation was a sign from heaven because wrought without human instrumentality. The resurrection of Christ was such a sign to the Jews, but rejecting it, they continued to seek other signs." Folks, to this day, there's the lost Jews. There's a remnant of believers, but the lost Jews continue to seek signs. They continue to reject their Messiah, Jesus. How many of you saw this week the big stampede killed 10 kids, 45 people, 150 others injured? You know what that was all about? It's a bunch of Orthodox Jews who do not follow the Torah. You'll hear people say they do not. They follow the Talmud, the traditions, the very things they followed instead of Jesus. And they were celebrating a Christ-rejecting mystic deceased among them. And in that celebration, the devils whipped them up and they stampeded a couple hundred people. And that is the spirit is controlling the Jews in Israel today, a spirit of Sodom, and it is preparing for the coming of the Antichrist.
Yep, right.
We'll have more to say about this, but we return to the main thrust of Jesus' comments. Look at verse 31. Read that with me. "The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them. For she came from the utmost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here." Now, how many of you remember that story?
Yeah.
Well, let's go look at it anyway. Only 3 of you said yes, so let's go look at it. 1 Kings 10. 1 Kings 10, beginning in verse 1. "And when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices, and very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king, which he told her not. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendants of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and his ascent by which he went up unto the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was amazed. Look, verses 6 through 9. Read verse 6. And she said to the king, it was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. So this is comparable to someone hearing the gospel and saying, this, it has a ring of truth to it. And then they turn to the word of God and begin to search the scriptures. Look at verse 7. Read that. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it, and behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceeded the fame which I heard. If you can grasp this, it's like people can hear about Jesus and hear that Jesus can really give you peace, and he can help you get through life, and he can save your soul from hell, first and foremost, and you just, that just doesn't sound right. So what do? You go and you're confronted with the gospel. And with the gospel, then you see how God saves you. This is an Old Testament type of that situation. Look at verse 8. Read that. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom. That's the testimony of the church for 2,000 years. Now look at verse 9. Read that. Blessed be the Lord thy God, which delighted in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore he made thee king, to do judgment and justice.
Amen.
Now, that story is what Jesus is talking about. Now, this is about Judgment Day. And I think a lot of people don't get Judgment Day. They just think you're going to stand up and there's God on the throne and he's going to say guilty or not. It's not going to be like that. This is going to be a full-blown court hearing. You want to ask Brother Jack back there what that's about? Some of you have been through court recently. I know about half a dozen of you. You notice that this is condemnation of the condemned by a believer. She's a believer. And she's going to stand there and hear about these people who not only heard the Old Testament revelation, they got to see the Messiah face to face, saw his miracles, and still rejected him. And think about it, there's going to be a confrontation. How many of you thought about Judgment Day like that? And think about what we're told. Again, the Queen of the South shall rise up in the judgment. I don't think he's just saying this. I think he's telling you what's going to happen. This queen at the great white throne judgment will stand, will rise up in the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them.
Amen.
Judgment Day is real, folks. And it's going to be as real as any confrontation you've ever had in your life. Be more real. To be much different than most believe it to be. Look at verse 32 again in Luke 11. Jesus has given us the example of Nineveh. Now look at the Queen of Sheba. Now look, he uses the men of Nineveh. The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. The men of Nineveh. For they repented at the preaching of Jonas. And behold, a greater than Jonas is here. Folks, today, those rejecting Jesus Christ, listen, if you give it any thought and effort at all, there's no excuse for rejecting the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as historic events that happened. And you can, if you so choose, you can listen to the greatest historians of our day lay out the evidence for the real person named Jesus Christ, and that includes people who aren't even Christians. Historians who have to admit your New Testament documents are among the most well-attested documents we have from ancient times. There is none that compare. And yet Satan's got his slithering little liars out there telling you the Bible's full of contradictions and the Bible isn't really trustworthy. That just proves you're stupid if you repeat that, because that means you have chosen to listen to liars and not to listen to all the evidence.
Amen.
All you have to do is listen to a debate where there's both sides represented fairly, and it'll blow you away. We have a book by Gary Habermas about the historical facts regarding the resurrection. How many unbelievers have ever taken the time to read that book? I've read their crap. I was raised for 12 years to be taught that there's no God, Darwinism, and all this garbage. I've read their books. I've read Hitchens. I've read Dawkins. I've read Harris. I've read the old guys, the Ingersolls, the Voltaires. I've read those guys. But you know what the atheists are? Close-minded fools. And they won't read all the evidence, and they're going to stand at the great white throne, and people like me are going to stand there and say, you deserve condemned.
Amen.
Yep, amen.
Amen.
That's judgment day. It's going to be real, folks.
Amen.
Again, interactive judgment. From now on, I hope you think about this. Judgment day is an interactive event.
Yep.
No live streaming. No video. You're going to be right there bodily. You're either going to be standing there in the white robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ because you trusted in His payment on the cross and the power of His resurrection, or you, believe it or not, are going to stand there naked before the entire population of humanity. Now, you wouldn't want to do that in a small group like your graduation. You think about high school graduation. They say some people have dreams, right? The night before graduation, and they walk up there naked to get their diploma. And it makes them so embarrassed, they wake up with the jitters. That ain't nothing compared to going to judgment day without the righteousness of Christ, without the robe of righteousness on, because you're going to stand there in front of every human being and all the angels and your Creator naked before God. Now, I want you to look over Jonah real quick. Jonah is one of those books where you can sit down and read that, in one sitting. It's four chapters and not very long. But in Jonah chapter 3, as you turn there, it says, "And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying," verse 2, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord." Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. "And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.'" If you're there, read verse 5. "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them." That's what Jesus was talking about when he said that they repented. Verse 6, "For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes." You talk about a response. I mean, I'll be honest with you, it's not required in the Bible, but I wept and got on my knees when I got saved. Verse 7, "And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast nor herd nor flock taste anything.'" Don't even let the animals eat. "Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Read verses 9 and 10 with me. "Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." God doesn't repent of sin, and evil isn't always sin. Evil just simply means bad things. And then in the context, it can be bad things that are evil or bad things that are justified. And God was going to pour out some evil on these people.
Yeah.
And he repented, meaning he changed his mind. Now, there's a lot of discussion about, God's sovereignty and his immutability. And I don't believe he was surprised by this, folks. I think he knew it was going to happen. But he, in time, functions with man, and we could go on and on about that. But we know this. If you are lost in your sin and you will repent toward God with faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ, believing how that Christ died for your sins, was buried and rose again, then God will repent of the evil of hell that he has planned for all those who reject his son.
Amen.
We can get all theological about explaining that, but that's the reality. That's the bottom line. And notice this again is condemnation of the condemned by those who repented.
Amen.
And this is the judgment, great white throne, and the those who repented in Nineveh are basically saying, what is wrong with you people? You had Jesus. What's wrong with you people in the 21st century? You've had 2,000 years of witness. You have a book in front of you that has shown the fulfilled prophecies into the hundreds that are in odds beyond our imagination. And then he's setting the stage for the end times right before your eyes, and you're still going to reject him? That's those who reject the gospel and face God on Judgment Day, who are alive right now at the time I'm preaching. That's what they're going to hear.
That's right.
At the great white throne.
Amen.
The men of Nineveh shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it.
Amen.
Here's another thought. Judgment Day is not a timed event. At this point, you're not going to get tired and hungry and bored or anything. It's going to go on a long while. Whether or not there's time in heaven is debated. There's a passage in Revelation says there'll be time no more. And people debate whether that means that there's no sense of time at all in eternity. I don't want to get into the depths of that debate. But regardless, there's not going to be a timing on your time at that judgment if you're lost. It will take as much time as it takes to expose every sin, every wicked thought and deed. But if you are saved, you know where your sins are judged? At the cross.
Amen.
You won't stand at that judgment. If you're a Christian, you stand at a different judgment, the judgment seat of Christ.
Yep.
And that's just about your rewards as a believer, not about your sins. You're making a choice. Either you're going to have your sins judged at his cross, or you're going to have your sins exposed and judged at the great white throne. This is judgment of Christ rejectors. Question, will you be there? I hope you can say, I'll be there as an observer, not at judgment.
Amen.
We're all going to be there, so I may have phrased the question wrong there. Will you be there? Yes. What's your role there? Are you a witness? Or are you going to be...
Let's say the defendant.
The defendant. Are you going to be the one on trial? We'll close here. Revelation 20. This is where we'll close it. I promise. Revelation 20. Revelation 20, beginning verse 11. This is what Jesus is pointing us to. This is what's going to go down. Verse 11 says, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, whose face, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. Read verse 15 with me. "And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's it. God's call to every one of us, if we have not already, is repent and believe the gospel And if you have, then that's what, if you love anybody, I don't care who it is, you look in the face of anybody that you say you love, you should be calling on them to repent and believe the gospel if they have it.
That's right.
If not, you don't really love them.
That's right.
You would not be satisfied to watch somebody burn in hell without hearing the gospel if you love them.
Amen.
That's why we talk about preaching against those who are caught up in their sin and wickedness and the whole sodomite thing. We don't just condemn, we don't condemn them, we condemn the sin.
Amen.
And we call on every one of them to repent and believe the gospel. And if they will, open arms.
Amen.
None of us are anything but sinners who have been saved.
Amen.
I'm no better than anybody else on this planet. Only Jesus Christ
Amen.
Was the sinless one.
Amen.
The rest of us are helpless sinners. And once we have received that gospel, we should be doing everything we can to tell everyone that we can.
Amen.
Explain the reality of sin and the gospel itself. And that's why we're going to close with this song in 474 in your hymn book. Once you get there, if you can, you can stand. Singing this because we think it's a pretty song. Read the lyrics as you sing. Because of Jesus. That's the only reason we're saved today.
Amen.
Amen. All right. We'll collect the prayer cards here and remind the onliners to send them to bbfohio@protonmail.com and say goodbye on three. One, two, three. See you here, there, or in the air. Have a wonderful Sunday.